with you on this rainy Tuesday afternoon, but it's probably sunny down in Murfreesboro where our next guest is. Or at least they'll be going to the sun.
But say they're going to the sun.
They're going to the sun.
And making the return to the sun, actually.
Yeah. That's right.
Man.
But I was just trying to paint the picture like, hey, you know, maybe it's sunny and beautiful down in the borough right now. Probably not. I think everybody's getting rained on right now.
Close to it.
But Rick Stock still is on the line with us. Coach Stock, how the heck are we?
I'm great, and you're right. It is raining here, so it's raining everywhere, I guess, in the area. But I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Well, hopefully it won't be raining where you're going here pretty soon, right?
No, I hope that big eye is out and the clouds are dry, and we're excited about the opportunity to go out there. And these guys, these players have done a phenomenal job this year and have earned this opportunity, and really proud of them and for them and happy for them.
You obviously, Rick, had a couple big wins early on in the season where you beat Colorado State out there in Collins, Colorado, at their place. You obviously went down to Coral Gables and gave it to the Canes, and you beat TSU in between after suffering the first loss of the season. And then you kind of went in a little bit of a lull. Obviously, you were getting a lot of talk at that point, but then things turned around down the stretch, and you got it back together and finished strong. So it sounds like this season kind of had some ebbs and flows to it, didn't it?
Doesn't every season, and it doesn't matter. There's going to be adversity in every year, every game, and you've got to be mentally and physically tough to overcome it, and that's what this team did. And, yeah, we lost the first game, and, you know, we lost so many players, you know, from the portal to the portal last year. We lost four starting offensive linemen that should have been coming back. And, you know, it takes time. You're not going to replace those guys. You know, we had one starting in the SEC, one starting in the AAC, had a corner starting in the ACC, had another offensive lineman starting in Conference USA. So we lost some good players to the portal, and it takes time. And, like you said, we had a great win there, Miami and Colorado State. And then we got beat, you know, it was a one-score game to San Antonio with 3 or 4 minutes left in the game. And, you know, they win the conference, or they're playing for the conference championship. You know, lost to Western Kentucky, lost to UAB, you know, really good teams, you know. But we kept battling, and then we go out and beat a really good UTEP team and, you know, to win 4 out of our last 5. So, you know, shoot, it's I'm proud of these guys. Yeah, you wish you won them all. I mean, that's always the goal. But in reality, right now there's only one team or two teams that can say that. And, you know, so I'm proud of these guys. I'm happy for them. And they fought their guts out this year and competed their tail off and had a heck of a dadgum good year.
I do want to, and forgive me for using this example. It's just, I get it. It's in my small little fishbowl, but I can relate at a very, very, very smaller level than you. But I do, since you brought it up, I do want to go there. So I've been in the travel ball baseball world with my son as the head coach. And look, while we don't have a portal, there's always a portal there, right? Because people can pick up and leave whenever they want, just like teams can move on. And some lesser, you know, teams that maybe don't have a roster full of great players, when they have that great player, a lot of times their parents are always looking for a more competitive team, right? Well, you guys are – you're fighting the same battles, right, with the big boy schools, and they're always looking to pluck from you guys. And so it's not just you. It's, I get it. Everybody's dealing with this. But how difficult is that, Rick, because you and your staff are – basically constantly having to re-recruit even your own players, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's at this level, you know, it's really harder than, you know, the Power Fives, because they've all got better facilities. They've all got NIL money, you know, that we as Group of Five, we can't hang with them guys. And, you know, the Alabamas, the Florida States, the Tennessees of the world, you know, they're signing guys that are 6'5", 300. They're ready-made. We sign guys that are 6'3", 270, 265, and you spend 2 years developing them, putting weight on them. Hopefully they'll sprout an inch or two, and now in their third year they're playing for you. They're 6'5", 300, and, you know, they up and leave you, you know, and go to, like I said, we had one starting in the SEC, the AAC, the ACC. So that's the frustrating part, you know, because we spend so much time developing
right.
them, you know, and then somebody, you know, can offer more than what we can. And a lot of times, you know, we had guys that stayed and we had guys that left. And we're no different. Middle Tennessee's no different than anybody else in the group of five. We all deal with this.
Rick Stock's still on the line with us, and that has to be frustrating. It's yeah. tough to win, period. I could tell the emotions with you after that last win. You know how hard it is to win. You've been at this for a long time, and it gets harder every year with all the challenges that come with it, some of the things that we're talking about. But it's even harder to win on the road. You had some successes on the road, including finishing out your season down in Miami with that win over FIU. What was it about this team that was able to for you guys to have success on the road this year?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've always said when you go on the road, you got to pack an extra, you know, suitcase of toughness, because you got to be mentally tough, you know, to deal with fans. You got to be mentally tough to handle the travel, you know, sleeping in a different hotel, you know, all the stuff being a visitor there. That's why they say, you know, the home field advantage. There's a reason why they say that. So I think it starts with that. And, you know, so you got to be tough and be able to overcome the adversity that you're going to face. And, you know, in that game, I mean, go back to what you said, how hard it is to win. And you can look at teams all across the country. You know, UCF's won 10 games, whatever it was. They're playing South Florida, who's won one game, and they got to throw a touchdown pass in the last 20 seconds of the game to win. You know, FIU's fighting. UTEP's fighting to get bowl eligible. Everybody's fighting to, you know, for something. And when people say these early bowl games are meaningless, that's a fan saying that. That's not a player. You go ask any player on any college team if a bowl is meaningless, and they'll all look you in the eye and tell you no. It doesn't. This Hawaii Bowl, I mean, this is the greatest bowl in the world to us. You know, and last year, Bahamas Bowl, we were the first bowl game. It was the greatest bowl in the world. Bowls mean something, and kids fight for it because that's one of their goals every year. So for the people out there that say, you know, all these early bowls don't mean anything, they just wait for, you know, the Final Four bowls, you know, they don't understand. There's 365 days in a year to get to play 13 days, you know, so that's what, 350-some days that you're either lifting weights or practicing to play 13 games. So they mean something, and you know you're going to get your opponent's best effort. It doesn't matter what their record is. You're going to get their best effort, and you got to play well to win in today's world of college football.
Coach, it's an honor to talk to you here. I wanted to ask you about, you know, you talked about the grind and the 350-something days that you are not playing an actual football game and how much time and effort that your guys put into the work and how much time and effort, not just your players, Coach, and you know this, but your staff and the other support systems that you guys have to make MTSU football happen. And now here we are, you get to go to places like the Bahamas and Hawaii for a bowl game. How do you keep a group of young men, 18 to 22, focused enough to play a football game safely and soundly in a place like the Bahamas or Hawaii?
You know, just like last year, you know, told them, hey, you're going to a beautiful place, you know, but you're going there to play and win a football game. And we're going to have fun. You're going to enjoy it because they've earned that right, you know. And I guarantee you, probably 100%, at least 99% of this team has never been to Hawaii. And I want them to enjoy it. I want them to go to Pearl Harbor and, you know, every December 7th when they start talking about it, they can say, I was there. I saw the oil popping up from the USS Arizona. You know, I want them to be able to say that and experience it, but also understand, you know, the goal is to stay on the field. To stay on the field. That's what I talk to them all the time. At the end of the game, you'd be the team that's still on the field, you know, holding up that trophy. So, you know, we'll go there with a great sense of appreciation and wanting to enjoy the Hawaiian culture and experience everything, but also know that there's a time for work, there's a time for play, and you've got to be mature enough, you've got to be tough enough, you've got to be mentally strong enough to understand and be able to separate that. But these players, these coaches have earned it, and they deserve it, and what a great opportunity for them.
Coach, you... In this particular era of football that you're in now, of course, you've been doing this for a long time here. You know that there was a lot of guys who were not going to get the opportunity to go on to the NFL. Some of your seniors, this was going to be the last football game they ever played possibly in their entire lives. But that is changing more and more rapidly with the expansion of more and more professional football leagues like the USFL and like the XFL. How do you give advice now to some of your young men who maybe want to explore playing football a little bit longer even after their time is up there in Murfreesboro?
Yeah, you know, at the beginning of the year, I'll always get all the seniors and I'll tell them, you know, I said, hey, the NFL just called and they said they don't want any of y'all. So enjoy this year. Cherish the moments. Cherish the locker room. You know, cherish the brotherhood of each other. And play this year like it's the last time you'll ever play football. And, yeah, I say that facetiously, you know, and they know I am with the NFL calling. But and that's the same thing, you know, now. Most of this team won't play professionally. You know that. Yes. But some of them will. And just like a high school kid, I say this all the time. If I'm a high school player, whether I'm 6'5", 300, or 5'5", 100, if you want to play college football, there's a place for you. There's a level for you. It may be Division I, it may be 1AA, it may be NAIA. But there's a place for you if you want to play and just be honest and realistic with your talent level. Mm-hmm. And if you want to play professional football, you know, just because the NFL says no, that doesn't mean you have to stop. Try Canada. Try the XFL now, like you said, the USFL. Those leagues are providing, you know, more opportunities for kids that, you know, may not be good enough right now to play in the NFL. You know, they go, you've heard all the stories of guys going to the NFL, I mean to CFL and getting a chance in the NFL or the, you know, USFL days, Kurt Warner, all that kind of stuff.
Sure, you know, the arena ball, yes, sir.
If it's your passion and you want to keep playing, find a way. But be honest and realistic with yourself and don't be that guy that says, I'm going to play in the NFL, you know, and that's all I want, and then they don't draft you or they don't take you as a free agent. Don't be that guy that keeps practicing and training and all that for 2 or 3 or 4 years, you know, just hoping on the NFL, because, you know, heck,
yeah.
They don't take you the first year. They dang sure ain't taking you 3 years later when you've just been laid up on the couch. So, you know, here's an opportunity to go play in the XFL or the USFL and continue to develop your game and have stuff on tape that NFL people can look at.
Yeah. Speaking of the NFL, earlier this year, you guys retired the number of Kevin Byard out there. What does Kevin Byard continue to mean to MTSU to this very moment, even several years now after the last time he walked on that football field with cleats on, at least?
No, just the respect and appreciation that I have for KB, that this university, this program has for him. We're lucky, you know, that he's 30 minutes down the road with the Titans, because we hear and see him more often. You know, we got other guy, like Reed Blankenship, got an interception the other night with the Eagles, mm-hmm. you know, but he's in Philadelphia, but you don't hear about him as much. You know, we got other guys, Charvarius Ward out there, you know, with the 49ers, having a great year, having a great career so far. You know, guys like that, but because KB is so close from a proximity standpoint, you hear more about him. He's able to come, you know, over here more often than a Charvarius Ward who's out in San Francisco. So, but, you know, he means the world to me personally and also professionally. You know, I love coaching him, and now I love the our relationship that we have now as former coach, former player. I can, you know, just sit back with, you know, a proud, stuck-out chest, you know, admiring him and how he carries his life, how family man he is, and then obviously the football speaks for itself.
You know, Coach, I've got to ask you about, in my other job, sir, I work at Fox 17, and, you know, we play your sound bites throughout the week as we preview the game sometimes. And I remember when you guys were getting ready to play Michigan a few years ago, and you gave this speech during the press conference that stays with me now about not backing down to people who you believe are superior to you, and the fact that you don't go out there with the mindset of losing football games at any point. And I thought about that after you guys went out and beat Miami. And I said, you know, that mindset that Coach was talking about goes a long way as I watch these guys run Miami out of the building. Can you just talk about, give me a sneak peek into that mindset when you go into a football game and everybody thinks this team is going to be better than you because of the label, essentially, that they've got on the side of their helmets?
100%. And, you know, as their coach, as their leader, and I say it all the time, I believe in them. You know, we get beat, and I tell them first thing, like, we got to do this better. We didn't do this. We got to do this. But I believe in you. I believe in you individually and collectively as a team that we're a good team. And we'll continue to work and prove it. And just like the Miami game, I told them, I said, we're just as good as they are. I said, Ray Lewis and Michael Irvin, them dudes, they ain't running out of smoke. They ain't coming out that tunnel. You know, so this is who you're playing. And be confident that you're going to win. And we went down there, and the first thing I said afterwards was, it's so good, it's so satisfying to do something that nobody thinks you can do. And nobody thought we could beat Miami, 25-point dogs. Nobody thinks you can beat them, but when you go down there and do it and prove people wrong, it's just a make-you-feel-good moment. And I said some stuff after that game that you shouldn't say as a coach. Okay. You know, I said, we kicked their tail and all that stuff. We kicked their tail. But, you know, you're supposed to take the high road and not say that. But I wanted our players to know how much I believed in them and how confident I was in them that we would kick their tail. It doesn't matter who you play. You know, you got a chance. And when you play some of those guys, you know, you almost got to play perfect. Like Michigan, we'd have had to play almost perfect and get a couple breaks. Well, we didn't play perfect, and we didn't get any breaks. Miami, we played pretty close to perfect, and, you know, we created some breaks. So I think it's just a challenge that most of these guys here are underdogs. I've been an underdog all my life, you know. One school recruited me. You know, I go to work every day with something to prove. And that's the way these players are. Most of them is Middle Tennessee or nothing. You know, and so they got a chip on their shoulder that they want to prove that they're just as good as those guys at Miami, those guys at Syracuse, those guys at Missouri, those guys at Georgia Tech and Maryland when we beat them. And they go out and try to prove it every day.
Hawaii Bowl, San Diego State, Christmas Eve. Do you know when you're going out yet?
Yes, sir. We'll leave the 19th. I think it's that Monday.
Okay.
We'll go out then.
We'll try to catch up with you as you continue to prepare for that. before you guys head out. Thanks for doing this, Coach. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Coach.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Just holler at me anytime. Shoot, I'll talk to you every day if you want me to.
All right. That is Rick Stockstill.
Thank you, Coach.
December 19th.